Hello. Welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
Good, good, good. We had a lot of basketball over the last few days. Some of the college variety, some of the NBA variety, some overseas variety. We'll get to all of it. But David, I wanted to start with the Women's Final Four. And off the top, congratulations to LSU, the national champs, winning their first national championship in program history. Congrats to Iowa for making the national final game. Congrats to Virginia Tech and South Carolina for making the national semifinals and the Final Four. Anytime you get to the Final Four, that's a huge accomplishment. So well done by the coaches and the ladies on the floor. All right, David. There's been a lot of sort of talk coming out of this game. Some of it for the gameplay, some of it for off the court stuff or antics, as people like to say. And I want to kind of go there and start there. So Angel Reese of LSU, in the closing seconds of their win over the Iowa Hawkeyes, she was seeking out Caitlin Clark and doing the John Cena can't see me celebration. So you guys are listening. You obviously can't see me. I'm waving my hand in front of my face like Cena does. Essentially saying, you can't see me. Like, that's how good I am. Like, you're not even in my, like, in my realm, right? Caitlin Clark did that numerous times throughout the season and throughout the NCAA tournament. Angel Reese also did the pointing to her ring finger, saying, ring me, which is, yes, a ring is coming. That's what happens when you win national championships. David, I'm a different kind of person when it comes to this stuff. I don't care. Like, it's sports. And it's entertainment. My thought process about someone celebrating and people getting mad is, my response is always the same. Well, you should have won the game, or you should have won that possession, or you should have done whatever it was. If you don't like someone celebrating or you get upset about it, that's on you. Play better and it won't happen, right? That's the one piece. The second piece about this that drives me crazy is when bad faith actors and disingenuous people use sports as a proxy for culture wars, right? And it's just, it's tiring and it's stupid. And like, I'm not even going to get into who said what, because I don't want to give those idiots any airtime. They've gotten enough. It's just dumb. Look, sports is a microcosm of the larger society in which it inhabits. The society's a fucked up place. So what makes you think sports is going to be some model of perfection? And it's just not. Are there moments? And sure. But it's made up of the same people who are on the outside in the larger world. So we have to stop using sports as this thing of like, this is how you're supposed to behave. Like, no, like, these are competitors. Things happen. All right. Like, again, once we're not going into violence, girls or men too, swinging or punching on each other, which none of that happened in this. Like, why are we even having this discussion? Let's move on.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, obviously, and it's ultimately really not a story. It's young people do things, older people do things. I watched it live. First of all, I love that we're talking about women's basketball. Yeah. So Caitlin Clark deserves a ton of credit for that.
Oh yeah, the ratings, LSU, by the way, were super high for the Final Four.
I mean, really, she's must watch TV. LSU was fantastic and well coached. And at first, I was disappointed in their style, but it grew on me. They were more cerebral. They proved to be more cerebral, which I think is a big deal. Their point guard down the stretch was amazing. The girls play super hard, super competitive. I cried at the end, like I always cry after a championship. I don't ball, but I used to dream about being a champion as a coach at the college level. And so I'm emotional when I see these girls or guys jumping up and down. Like, what an amazing thrill that must be. My only issue with the player in question was the timing of it. The game was 15 points. The game was over. I am a big, this is not at all to do with her character or personality. I think it has to do with the fact that Caitlin Clark is so fucking good, which I never heard of this girl until a week ago because I don't follow that sport. I have no time. As you and I just talked about, there's enough basketball in the NBA for me to stay busy enough and still try to be a husband and a dad and everything. She's really incredible and can get so much better. There's a lot of holes to her game. Not a lot. There's some holes to her game. And I think LSU was so incredibly focused on not on us. Like, you're not yeah, she had 41 against the number one team in the country, undefeated South Carolina, who's very well coached and very tough. And I think LSU was so pumped up that when they realized we beat her, this one young lady couldn't just keep it to herself. And I don't mind if she pointed her finger, look at the crowd. I didn't love that she did it right to Caitlin Clark. Whatever. This is not a big crime. This is, you know what, young lady, you know, try to win again next year. And don't give them any fodder. This is just the dad in me talking. And I've been coaching since I was 22. And I always talk to my players about process and managing emotions. But we also never won a national championship. So, and she's an All-American, a great player. I told you after, on a call earlier, after the game, she interviewed with Holly Rowe from ABC, mm-hmm. from ESPN, right? Mm-hmm. And just could not have been sweeter. Like, just said, love to have the girl over for dinner with my family. She seems really interesting and charismatic. And whatever, I she made some comments afterwards. I saw it to the press about people trashing her all year. So that was probably, I don't know what they were saying. She's an amazing player. I'm sure that fed into it as well. But I'm a big believer in always trying to take the biggest picture of you. The biggest picture view is women's basketball has really improved. All those girls mm-hmm. could go play pickup with anyone in the world, and I mean NBA players included, and they'd be just fine. They know how to play. They're skilled. They're tough as fuck. They would fit in, first of all, better than almost any man on the planet. right. Unless you played high-level high school or above, you can't play with NBA players. You don't know what you're doing. They know what they're doing. They understand the game very well. And I bump them around until I'm 80 or 90 years old. And I can only imagine how many dunks. I've even watched, like, there's high school girls dunking like never before. It's fantastic. Give it time. They're coming. And they've never taken a backseat in competitiveness. Correct. Never. That's never been the case for women. I also love the fact that there were two women coaches. Mm-hmm. I think until we're ready to have a woman coaching a man's sport, we should. I wish there were no men. Fuck Gino. Let him leave. Let him go coach men. He's done. It's won 11 rings anyway. Right, I think right. Whatever. let a woman run Connecticut. We need more of that. And then eventually we'll have a nice little diversity. Well, women will be coaching NBA and college men, and vice versa, and that's fine with me. But generally speaking, I like the fact that we had two women coaching. The games were well attended. They always have been. Mm-hmm. I think ratings, you said, were great. Mm-hmm. And the level of play, I mean, LSU scored over 100 points in 40 minutes. Iowa didn't guard great, but it's because LSU is way quicker and faster, and they had to pick a poison, and they try to be around the rim more. They still got beat up at the rim, and then LSU shot great the first half, second half. I mean, to me, there was a decision in the second half. This goes to strategy. They're up 15 in the second half, whatever. They stopped shooting threes, basically. And so they made 1-3 really late, where the game was over anyway. They just said, you can't catch up to us if we keep scoring twos. They just kept making 12, 14, 15 footers. They went through a cold stretch. The game got tight, mm-hmm. but it worked out just fine for them. It is what it is. And listen, we're in a world time now, Gerard, in this world because of our previous president, where there's a segment of society who gets off on being a bully and being a racist. And so when they get a chance to be heard through social media about that, they show their colors very well. And they're flagrant about it. They're not just racist, they're flagrant about it. And we can see them a mile away. Right?
Yeah.
See them a mile away.
No doubt. It's, the last thing I'll say about all this is that Angel Reese, you know, basically talking about, you know, how people were talking about her all year. You know, it's a larger conversation around how women's players certain women's players are covered and talked about, right? Like, for instance, Dawn Staley's University of South Carolina Gamecocks. Look, they play a physical brand of basketball. Like, that's
nothing wrong with that.
Who cares?
Like, nothing wrong with that.
Right? Like, you have to lean into whatever your strengths are, however you recruit your teams, whatever, and build your team based on the personality and strengths that they have. If you've got a bigger physical team, you have to use that to your advantage. If you've got a team that's more skilled or whatever, you got to figure out, what does my team do best? And I've got to try to exploit that every single time to give us the best chance to win. And oftentimes, these are Black women we're talking about, and Angel Reese and the women on South Carolina, you know, I think it's a thing we have in society where language is so powerful, David, and people say things offhand. And I don't know if for sure. I mean, sometimes when people say things offhand, you know what they mean. Like when someone says classless, like they've been doing online, like that's just a dog whistle and substitute for the real word they want to say, which we know what that is. But when someone says things like, oh man, playing against that team, it's like being in a bar fight, right? I'm not necessarily saying that the person is outright racist, but what happens is there's these subtle things that it's like, why does it have to be a bar fight, right? Like, because when you think of bar fight, you think of like elements of people that aren't really great, right? And so this is the problem. We have to be so careful with how we speak and our language and how we're describing people. Like, tough as nails and ballers, cool, no problem, right? Everybody gets what that is. And that's part of the thing that a lot of these women are fighting. And so, you know, again, kudos to LSU, kudos to Iowa, kudos again, Caitlin Clark's fantastic. You know, to come back next year is a chance to be a two-time player of the year. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about her is, you know, man, the women's game is evolving so much. She's doing the pull-up three, Steph Curry,
from deep,
right? Fantastic. You know, we're going to see this continue to evolve, and you're going to start to see some even more amazing things than we've seen so far. And I'll be very curious to see next year what kind of season she's able to put together. We got people already talking about her as the greatest women's player ever. I'm like, guys, let's calm down. Like, I mean, Breonna Stewart did win 4 straight NCAA tournaments, 3-time player of the year. Like, you know, there have been some other really great players, but Caitlin's for sure fantastic. And again, kudos.
I met Teresa Witherspoon when I was in Denver
last week.
She had a hell of a career.
There's so many amazing. Shamika Holzclaw, Tamika Catchings, like Diana Taurasi. Listen,
I go back to Cheryl Miller.
Cheryl Miller. Yeah, I mean, Cheryl Women, Swoops. Like, come on.
That Women of Troy documentary was great. I think that, first of all, you're supposed to, if you've got a bunch of really athletic players, men or women, doesn't matter. Like, you better be athletic and physical. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
It's like having a bunch of great shooters, but pounding the ball inside the whole time. That's stupid.
Right.
Yeah. You're supposed to do it that way. This is the game. This is how we play the game. They did. I saw, I never even thought about that. I don't pay attention. First of all, Twitter and me are not friends anymore. So I'm not on it anyway, but I didn't realize there was a thing. I've coached against some of the dirtiest teams you could ever imagine in high school. Almost always were rich white schools, private, because they've been getting away with shit their whole life because mom and dad were too.
Right.
And I'd say I was speaking to a player recently who had to play an Ivy League team. And I told him before the game, this was a couple days before the game, like, don't think for 1 second those boys are soft.
Yeah, right.
Just because they come from money and are smart enough to get into that Ivy League school, like, that's getting in wasn't easy in many cases. Right. You have to be smart. And they're willing to fucking push and shove. And that's, okay, yeah. They're being tough has nothing to do with the color of your skin, for sure. And it doesn't often have to do with your socioeconomic background either. There's a lot more to it. And good coaches know how to get the most out of the players no matter what.
Yep.
And so, but the best news of all was Caitlin Clark didn't seem to care.
No.
And the Iowa center who fouled out could not have been more gracious in defeat. I didn't really pay attention to the game enough to know whether her calls were legit, but she didn't let it get her down. She just played, shook hands afterwards. Both teams were great that way. And it's good. Listen, we love basketball. We want as many people. All those girls, I guarantee you, are NBA fans.
Oh, no doubt.
We need more of that. The more we have young girls playing basketball, the more those girls will grow up to raise kids who love basketball. Good for the sport. Yeah, Bring it all in. We need as many fans we can get.
We love it. Absolutely. All right, David, switching to the NBA, I was looking at something interesting today. Futures, so title odds, right? And the Vegas future odds versus 538's likelihood percentage of winning the championship are so fascinating to me. The top two teams, according to 538, in terms of chances of winning the NBA title, who do you think they are, according to 538?
I would say Milwaukee and Phoenix.
Okay, so it is the Celtics at 25% and the Bucks at 15%. That's according to 538.
I thought maybe because they're both in the same conference, there would be a pick one from the West. So those are the two favorites for sure.
And actually, according to 538, the next favorite team is another East team, the Sixers, at 12%.
Yeah. Those are the three best teams.
Right. So now, it is the Nuggets at 14%. Then the Grizzlies at 13%, and then the Sixers at 12%. So very interesting by 538. Now, according to Vegas, Bucks, yes, number one. Who do you think number two is, according to Vegas?
Denver.
Celtics, plus 380. Third, the Phoenix Suns, plus 500.
Phoenix, number three, okay.
Nuggets, plus 800.
Yeah.
Sixers, plus 900. Warriors, plus 12. Grizzlies, plus 19. Lakers, plus 3,300.
That's the best bet, right? That's the best bet right there for value.
That is a very good value bet, for sure.
Yeah.
We've been saying that you you were prescient enough. You said this at the beginning of the season. You're like, guys, it's going to be a wide open, and it's particularly wide open in the Western Conference. I think in the East, we're pretty clear that those top four teams.
Top four. I wouldn't just throw Cleveland out.
Yeah, yeah. Those top four teams are very good.
Yeah, right? It's 3+1, but it's not 3+0.
No, no.
Yeah, Cleveland is good enough to cause some problems.
And then you have the Knicks and Nets right now, the rest of the top six. Meanwhile, yeah,
they're not good enough.
Who the hell knows? Denver's one right now, but, you know, they have some holes. Milwaukee. Memphis was playing the best basketball, winners of 7 or 8 straight, until they blew a lead last night, playing horrendous down the stretch. But still very good, right? 2 seed. The Kings, 3. The Suns locking into 4. So I wanted to look at teams in the West who've been looking a little unsteady down the stretch here. Start with the Clippers. Of course, the Paul George injury, but man, they lost some rough games. 2-1 to Memphis. They kind of wove the white flag. Kawhi didn't play the second half of that home series. And then to the Pelicans over the weekend. What are you seeing on the floor from the Clippers?
Well, we're writing about right now all the teams in the West, just kind of like a big picture view. Without Paul George, I mean, does anyone think they can do it? I don't.
Yeah.
Even with him, only because the West is so fragile that anyone can come out of it. But I don't always think you are who your record is. I don't always think that because of injuries and things. But the reality is they're just over 500, maybe 3 games over 500. They can't seem to put stuff together game in, game out. And without Paul George, I just don't think they'll have enough. Yeah, I just don't think they'll have enough. But we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, do we know when Paul George is coming back?
No word yet.
Right.
No word yet.
Yeah. This week.
Yeah. Let's look at the Warriors, another team who kind of was playing from pretty good basketball, right? But lost a tough one in Denver last night, a game they needed. That drops them back down to the 6th hole. No, you win one game, you're up. You lose one or lose two in a row, you're dropping back 2 or 3 spots. This is a team who I've said, and yes, the Wiggins absence is clearly notable, right? It's causing them defensive issues. But even when he was here, this is a team who I believe your record is who you are. This is kind of who they've been all year. They're unable to string together consecutive quality wins and play, particularly on the road, which they're going to have to do in the postseason. Yes, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson have done that a million times in their career. They're four-time champions as a result. But as you say, coming off those injuries, someone like Klay, he'll have spectacular nights, but they'll have some dud nights too, right? Like, it's just, can he have more great nights than dud nights? I don't know. Same with Draymond. I don't know.
Yeah, my concern with Golden State, they're on the road defense. Last night they lost to Denver without Jokic.
Without Jokic, yep.
Yeah, that's a bad loss. I think that they, if they had Wiggins, I'd like them a ton. Peyton will help a little bit, but he's playing 11, 12 minutes a game. They need more athletic wings. Kuminga's too young to count on, in my opinion, more than a game or two. Their core is their core with Poole coming off the bench as a scorer and DiVincenzo playing well.
Playing very well.
Steph Curry looking great. Looney and Draymond, we know who they are. I'm worried about their bench. We're writing about this. This morning I was doing this. But I think lack of athleticism is really going to hurt them. Mm-hmm. Lack of depth is really going to hurt them. And they've not been a good transition defensive team. So matchups might be an issue depending on who they play. And they're always going to be on the road, like you say, and they're just a terrible road team. Yeah. So you'd think that they can galvanize around their defending champs, but the record suggests that that probably is not going to be the case.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's funny because like this idea of switch flipping, like I understand it and get what you mean. I just don't know that this team has the requisite flip switching ability, right? Like in spurts, you can see it, right? You're like, oh, this looks like the Warriors. How does anybody beat them? But can they do it consistently? That's the part I don't think they're able to do right now for all the reasons you said. T-Wolves got Cat back, so that's good. Hasn't been looking great.
They lost 3 straight.
Lost 3 straight. So that's after actually playing well prior to that.
Much better. Yeah.
And we said this, you go on a 3-game losing streak at the wrong time, like now, it's pushing you further down the hole. What are you seeing from the Timberwolves on the court?
Well, I thought when they traded D'Angelo Russell, they were saying, we'll try it again next year. I thought he was
punting.
I thought he was too good a player to just replace with, you know, the aged Mike Conley, who I like. But they did have a nice little run. They are a decent team. But the problem, Gerard, with all these teams is you're fighting for a seventh or eighth, which means you're on the road in Denver and Memphis. Mm-hmm. Who are both flawed for their own reasons, but they're still much better than you. Mm-hmm. And so now you got to beat Denver at home is fantastic. I think Memphis at home,
best record at home,
even better, right? Mm-hmm. So you're unlikely to win one of those four games on the road, and they're likely to beat you one of your games at home. So to me, the bottom West teams are lucky to win a game in the first round. Like I'm going to probably pick. We'll see what happens if LA is a 7 or 8, the Lakers, which they could very well be. Mm-hmm. That's different. But these other teams, I would say, are going to be lucky to win one game in the postseason.
Another team that was kind of flirting with that sixth spot and were playing well or, you know, getting on a nice little streak with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I still think they make the play-in. You have been loving them all year of what they run. And they're a fun team, David. Like, they are rangy. They got wings. They can shoot it. And Shea, of course, is phenomenal.
Incredible.
Gets to the free throw line, I don't know, 12 times a night. Like, he's so good. Yeah. They'll be a fun team if they get in the play-in. I think that team could cause some issues. Again, I don't think they're going to win the series, but it's like, ooh, do you want to play OKC? They're fun. They're a fun little squad.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to shoot, I would think, a ton of threes, so their variability is going to be very great in any game. And they're hard to guard because they just drive the kick so much and everyone kind of does it. And Shea is such a key to that. He's just so impossible to stay in front of. His surge dribble is unbelievable. His shot making, ability to get fouled is amazing. But they're building for the future. You know, they're the type of team, if they make the playoffs, incredible. It doesn't matter. If they can win one game at home, they'll be thrilled. I don't think they're a real threat. The West is just, the East is deep. It's just the Eastern beasts are so much better. The West doesn't have that overwhelming team, probably, unless Phoenix really, Durant's healthy and all of that. And even then, they're a little bit flawed. I just don't think these teams do much.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. A team that you have not been able to quit is the Los Angeles Lakers, who, by the way, playing good ball, winners of 7 of their last 10 games, on a 3 or 4 game winning streak right now. LeBron's like, oh, I'm feeling good, man. We like where we're at. They could potentially get into that 6th seed, I think. Let me check where they are right now. Standings, Lakers. Yeah, they're only a half game behind the Warriors and Clippers.
Right.
So, you know, the Warriors get weird and start losing games, and the Clippers, we already talked about them. They do the same thing. Man, imagine if LA snuck into that 6 and now 3-6 is Sacramento. Lakers? Oh, man.
I'd be picking the Lakers.
Ooh.
Yeah, for sure I would. I liked, all year long, I've said LA's roster was good enough to be a playoff team. Darvin Ham sucked, and they were injured. AD, most specifically. And Schroeder and Thomas Bryant to start the year, and LeBron James. But they made some trades and are even deeper. The depth is an issue, ironically. Depth is an issue for almost every team in the West, except for the LA teams, who are not two of the four best teams. Mm-hmm. But they are deep, which gives them lots of weapons to try to fire at and the ability to deal with an injury in any one game or foul trouble by almost anyone. Yeah, I think LA is I think hopefully Darvin Ham gets out of the way. I think he probably would. I don't think he'll do anything crazy. Let AD and LeBron. I mean, AD is back to playing great.
Yeah, he is.
Austin Reaves is playing great. LeBron is going to be very, very good in the postseason.
If LeBron and AD are playing like how they play, I see what you're saying, right? Because that elevates Austin Reaves and Schroeder and everybody else around them. And that's
Troy Brown,
That's
and, Malik Beasley. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a tough out. So if you're Sacramento, although I will say, you know, look, Sacramento, I don't think they're gonna roll over in that series because Sacramento is very good and super athletic and plays with a ton of pace.
They're very good offensively.
They can't guard.
They're trying. Mike Brown said after the game last night they lost to the Spurs without Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson. San Antonio really controlled the whole game. They were lucky Sacramento get to overtime and then got beaten overtime. Mike called the team soft. That's throwing the gauntlet down. That's crossing a line. And he had to. He said at home, we're just soft. And they'll be more focused in the postseason defensively. But going back to that switch flipping, I just It's just not. I think they're. I wrote this today. I think they're the most likely team to keep upset in the first round.
And they have not
without,
shown
without
it.
Knowing who the matchup is yet.
And they haven't shown it all season, right? If you're the 20-something ranked defense all season, why am I going to believe that all of a sudden you're going to be great come postseason?
That's right.
You saw the Pelicans up close in Denver over the weekend or end of last week. What are you seeing from the Pels? Zion will come back, I think, maybe, some point soon?
He does not look good, in my opinion. I saw him work out before the game, and he's heavy to me. His legs looked heavy. His body looks swollen. I think he's lost weight from at his worst a month or two ago, way down from where he was a summer ago. But to think he's just going to come in and save the day, you know, I don't see that. I had a Pelicans insider say to me, we have a Hulk, when he was talking about his process, his their postseason prospects. Well, a Hulk on a lot of blubber. He's heavy. Zion, I saw him warm up before the game. I love the Pelicans. They have two of my kids on their team as coaches. But and I think their future looks great. And I'm hopeful Zion, you know, gets really tight, lean, and dominates the league next year and wins three straight MVPs. I'm all for all of that. But to not play all season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you remember when Zion came back the first time this year, he wasn't so good around the rim. And normally he's incredible, like the best in the league at the rim. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't that. Well, no surprise. He has no reps. So that's not going to change.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little they're playing top defense in the league last five, last 10 games. Yep. Now they played some bad teams in that stretch, but still they're playing defense. Mature guys. They've got some depth. Trey Murphy's coming on as a shooter. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. But I don't think Zion's going to be able to lift them. Oh, Brandon Ingram, by the way, looks fantastic.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Player of the month, great. Yeah, really, really good. Big fan of that guy.
So essentially, what they're going to be is without Zion, or even if he does come, is what they were last year, right? Same team. So spunky in the first round, but you're not going to pick them to win a series.
Yeah, I wouldn't, unless Zion makes a miracle recovery.
Yeah, no.
I think they could be pretty scary.
Yeah, no, for sure.
He's incredible.
This episode of True Hoop is brought to you by BetterHelp. Hey guys, Gerard from True Hoop here. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? It's a hell of a question. Would you maybe go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? Now, depending on the day, any one of those would be a great idea. Most of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Now, I've been open in the past with you guys about this. I see a personal therapist as well as a couples therapist for my partner and I, and both are extremely helpful in developing positive coping skills and learning how to set boundaries. Therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/truehoop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/truehoop. The Grizzlies coach had a awful loss last night. We're up 20-something at one point in that game. I was like, oh, we're looking good against the Bulls. Let me flip around and watch the rest of this women's game and focus on that. Next thing I know, I'm like, what? Tied? How'd that happen? And then the wheels literally came off. Memphis is prone to doing this sometimes, particularly on the road, just having these horrendous quarters where they just don't guard and they don't score on the other end. And that worries me about the postseason, right? Because the postseason is all about execution in the half court. And that was just ugly. Now, granted, look, DeRozan, LaVine, those are all excellent players. They're very, very good. I get that. But you were up 20-something. So what the hell happened?
Yeah, I didn't see the game. I was watching. I only had the one game on. I really want to focus on the girls' game. And, you know, I've told you I've started this new business where we're trying to help people get scholarships. We're not doing high school girls yet, but we'll have a division for it. I won't be doing it. But I'd like to have at least some idea what these girls look like, which is why I watched the game. So otherwise, I don't know what a college girl player looks like anymore. I know guys pretty well. Memphis's depth is a concern, as we've talked about off air. John Morant's not a concern.
No.
He's spectacular. Jaren Jackson, spectacular.
So good.
They're going to be on a mission after what happened last year and the year before. They won a game in Utah, and then last year they won two against Golden State in the conference semifinals. Right. They've won one series so far. So they're going to have a little axe to grind. They'll have an edge to them, which is good. Steven Adams missing is huge to me.
That's big.
He's such a big part of what they do, offensive rebounding wise, screen setting, bulk in the paint, so Jaren Jackson can roam more defensively. If they don't solve that problem, I think they're really flawed.
Yeah. The other piece too, you know, we talked about Jaren's offense coming in. He shot the ball well last night. He's developing his post moves, and he gets that left hand, right, go over that the other shoulder, the hook in the lane. What he's still doing, not as much as he used to, but it's going to matter now because he's too good to be off the floor as the foul trouble. It's like, dude, you're just as important as John Morant. If you are off the floor, this is a problem for this team. So he's got to find a way to limit those. It's not the ones where he's being aggressive. That's fine. But those silly ones where you're not going to get that rebound anyway, and now you jumped over his back, and now you got two fouls when you should only have one, right? And in the playoffs, that's going to be brutal, right? Because you go down a foul trouble early, that's a game. Now we're down 0-1, right? And so this is something that I'm sure he's being told, and I'm sure he knows. He's not stupid. He knows he's not going to get in foul trouble, but it's something worth watching.
Yeah, you have to, as a player, I always teach my guys, you have to have the discipline to not go after plays where a foul's a risk and the reward isn't so great. Even if the reward's great and you already have two fouls in the first half, don't do it. This is just, that's the read. That's the decision-making process. He's still got a little of a puppy in him. He just wants to jump at everything. He's gotten better. Mm-hmm. But there's another level of growth. He's young. He'll get there. Mm-hmm. He's a spectacular player. But you're dead right. Like, they're not going to win many games. They're not going to win a game, more than a game in a series, without him playing significant minutes. Yeah. Especially without Steven Adams.
For sure. Hottest team in the league right now, the Phoenix Suns. Winners of five straight. They're 6-0 with Kevin Durant in the lineup. Monty can do a thing in the playoffs where two of their four main guys, KD, Book, Chris, and DeAndre Ayton, are on the floor at all times. You can always have two of them on the floor at all times. And that's such a huge advantage because we talked about with Denver, what do you worry about? The non-Jokic minutes, right? When he gets off the floor, what happens, right?
Right.
Being able to have, you know, two really good players on the floor always is a bonus. Now, we talked about it at Dozium. You talked about it. It's the health, right? Are we sure? Not just KD. Are we sure Book, Chris, Deion, are they all going to make it through without getting hurt? And we don't know crystal ball. We can't predict that.
No, we can actually predict probably not.
Right.
Yeah, we probably, especially with CP and with Durant with their age, which is too bad. But in the meantime, they're healthy. Mm-hmm. They've won five in a row, like you said. They're formidable. Mm-hmm. They're formidable. And I'm worried about Okoji. I'm worried about Torrey Craig. Who are going to be that fifth guy when no one guards? Because you have to guard five with the four. You have to guard their four with your five, which means you leave someone open. Mm-hmm. And Okoji's a 20%+ three-point shooter every year until this year. A little better now, 34 maybe, but 34 regular season. Mm-hmm. Not sure it means anything. Yeah. He's going to have to prove himself.
And it's tough because it's not as simple as saying, fine, just put Shaman in because he's a better offensive player. He is, but now you don't get a Okoji's defense on the other end. So now every time, hunt Landry Shaman and get him in pick and roll, and we're going to score. And so this is your dilemma, right? Yeah. This is what happens when teams aren't balanced, right? Like, you have a scab you can just pick at, and that's what teams will do. Let's move to the East, David. The Bucks, they're just rolling along, ho-hum, ho-hum. Beat another, although I will say, the Celtics did beat them a couple of nights ago. Bucks turned the tide, not on the Celtics, but they beat Philadelphia last night. Looked pretty good doing it too. Look, man, Drew and Chris and Brooke and Giannis, and this team's won a title already, and they have all the, not only have they have the playoff success of the title, they have all the scars and warts of falling short. And
not winning, so
nothing's going to phase them. They're ready for it all. It's very hard for me right now to think of any team beating them four times out of seven in this postseason, barring no injuries, of course.
I agree. I think that I saw Drew score 51 against the Pacers.
Sure did.
After they just lost the Pacers the week before. was good to see from them. Drew was unbelievable. 51. He was well guarded for most of them. He's just getting buckets. Mm-hmm. The rim, three. Still play defense. Mm-hmm. They were my pick to start the year.
They were.
I was worried about Chris. He came back just in the nick of time, rounding himself into form. Giannis has an axe to grind. I think he's got a real edge to what's going on. They look very, very good. They're my favorites to win.
You think the MVP talk's bothering him a little bit?
You know, I think he can. I think a lot of these guys can create whatever motivation they want.
Yes,
it doesn't matter if really deep down he cares, but I do think he probably thinks I'm the best player. I'm going to win the Finals MVP. I don't need the regular season. I got two of them. I have no more room in my mantle for them. I need a Finals MVP, of which he has one.
He sure does.
Yeah. They're legit.
Yeah, there is a physicality to the way that they play. The length when Giannis and Brooke and Bobby Portis are on the floor, it's just like, you're not getting shit at the rim. Like, good luck. And then fucking Jrue Holiday is just so strong and like in your chest all game. Like, this is
very good.
You know, anything could happen, right? You know, Chris is not playing that well, whatever. Like, it's not, I'm not saying that they're like a juggernaut and unbeatable and whatever, but if they are clicking right, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be really, really tough. Are you concerned about Philly at all and the Harden Achilles situation?
Yeah. Yeah, they need him healthy. Yeah. I think a healthy Harden, and they're right there to win the whole thing. Mm. I think they're really deep, maybe the deepest team. Embiid is, you know, cheat code.
So good.
Harden is a reader of the game.
Melton's been such a – we miss him in Memphis. He's
right,
such a good
player. Sure. They're just really deep. They need Harden really healthy.
Yeah, yeah. So Boston's kind of sort of started leveling out again. Are you still worried about Boston? Are you
I am.
Okay.
No, we're worried about Robert Williams and Jason Tatum shooting.
Yeah.
These are issues that they got time to. There's no evidence that suggests that if you shot poorly in March and April,
correct,
you're not going to shoot well in the postseason. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. There's no correlation yet. There's no. We can't predict he's not going to shoot well. But Tatum needs to shoot well.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
And then they're right there with Philly and Milwaukee.
Yeah, no, for sure. David, I was looking at the standings in the East, and one of the matchups that seems more than likely it's going to be set is the 4-5. Cleveland hosting the New York Knicks. Ooh, boy. I hear that, and I hear defense. Because that's what Tibbs wants his team to do, right, is defend and guard. That's what I know Cleveland does by watching them and what the advanced numbers say. And they play with two bigs, with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, which fucking nightmare. Good luck with that. And then, of course, they got a guy. Well, they have two guys, but one guy who really can score 50 in the playoffs anytime because I'm just that good. Talk me out of why I shouldn't think Cleveland can go to the conference finals.
No. I'm on your side. I think they can. I watched them yesterday. Their defense is exquisite. With their two bigs, Mobley guards, swallows them up, Allen at the rim and Mobley at the rim. They're going to have to get shooting from their three.
Yep.
Caris LeVert will make a difference. Mm-hmm. Mitchell can be amazing. I love their connectivity. I feel like they're a connected group.
They do.
They're playing for each other. Donovan seems like he's been a great leader.
He does.
From what I've seen. I think they're a real threat to win the East. I wouldn't favor them because the other teams are better.
Right.
But they're going to have to play well to beat them.
So that series against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the Knicks have their flaws and their issues, but look, Jalen Brunson has been outstanding. I think Tibbs has found something with Grimes and those guys that he plays a ton of minutes with. The Josh Hart addition has been so good for them. Julius Randle, shit, he might make an All-NBA team. Might make 13 this year.
Yeah, again. Second time in 3 years.
Yeah, I'm honest, in that series, I'm going to favor Cleveland, but won't be a sweep.
Oh, it'll be 6 or 7. Yeah. I think it'll be a good series. New York is shooting last 10. I think they're number 2 in the NBA in 3-point shooting. That doesn't mean they'll continue it.
Right.
They're capable of it. Mm-hmm. And that changes who they are a lot.
Yes.
They're not a great slashing team. They need to shoot well and then defend well, what they're doing. Games will be slower, lower scoring games. Old school East met Brad Doherty versus Pat Ewing battles.
Oh man, I feel like, do people remember how good Brad Doherty was? Brad Doherty was so good.
I do. Yeah.
Now people think of him as the NASCAR guy. I'm like, oh no, he was like a really great big
for them. He's not driving.
I mean, well, because like he owns like a NASCAR team or whatever.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He's big in NASCAR. Cool. And I think he still does some color commentary for Cleveland. I'm pretty sure.
For basketball?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe I don't remember.
Maybe not. Either way, guys. Look, Brad Daugherty, you youngins. Troy Good played for North Carolina.
First pick in the draft.
Right. That was very, very good player.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, old school, right? Brad Daugherty, Patrick Ewing. So we're gonna see some. We might see some like 88 to like.
Well, you know what we're gonna see? We're gonna see some LSU style LSU women's basketball defense.
Nice,
physical.
Nice,
physical.
Yeah,
that's how the game's supposed to be played when you have athletes that can do it.
Right.
Yep. Right. I don't want them not to call anything. I want you to call the game where you're supposed to call them and let the players adjust. Mm-hmm. But they're gonna bring it.
Yeah. Why don't more teams employ the two big strategy the way that Allen, the Cavs with Allen and Mobley.
To be fair, they don't have two all-star guards.
Well, yes.
Right? So you're giving up something offensively in theory. One of the reasons why, and we'll get to him later, Victor Wembanyama is this highly rated player, is as highly rated as he is that you can have him at the four or five either, and you're not giving up on three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. You're not giving up on bucket getting as a score off the dribble, off the bounce. And yet you have shot block additional rim protection. Mm-hmm. That's rare, mm-hmm. right? Jared Allen and Mobley can't do that yet. So they pick the rim, they finish inside. That's it right now. That's all they're doing.
You know who can do that? Jaren Jackson Jr. can do that.
Yeah. Tim Duncan 2.0, baby.
Yeah, we love it. You brought him up. Let's talk about Victor. So a little highlight was floating around the internet of Victor taking a step back three in a League One game in Paris. He misses it, and then all of a sudden comes in out of nowhere and tip dunks back in his own miss from a step back three. I mean, look, he's 7 foot a million, right? Like, he's got arms that just stretch on for days and legs and limbs. I am so excited for this guy. Everyone knows who listens to this podcast knows that tall guys who can shoot, that is Gerard's basketball love language. Like, so I'm in. But I worry, David. The biggest thing that worries me more than anything else is because as you know this, because player development is what you do, I worry about what franchise he goes to. Because, I mean, how many truly good franchises are there in the league that are good at nurturing men, all the different things you need to do? You can probably count on one hand. Shit, you might count on like three fingers. And odds are he ain't going to one of them, right? Well, although San Antonio I like. So hopefully he gets to San Antonio and Pop has a revitalization. But my fear is he goes to Charlotte and then screwed.
Yeah. The answer to that question I think would be four. But I've not thought it through. You are right to be concerned. The NBA is not, the NBA does not have a monopoly on player development, nor does college. I always get upset when, go back to school and learn how to play. They don't always teach that.
Right.
Now, we'll get to the NCAA in a minute. The Final Four was beautiful basketball from a style standpoint and from an IQ standpoint. We don't always get that. But those teams, FAU really plays the right way. I love their coach, Dusty May, a friend of mine. I think Victor's good enough where it won't matter, probably.
Okay.
To some degree, they'll hit their ceiling lower. The ceiling will be lower because they lack of that. But he'll probably be just fine no matter where. Like Russell Westbrook and Kobe, mm-hmm. it probably didn't matter where they get. Okay. They'd be the same.
Because for most players, right, it's about where they go. But there's the certain ones, so. Like they're going to be superstars regardless because they have that will. Well, I hope that's true for Victor. Guys, go back and listen to some of our earlier work on Victor. I don't know if we talked about it on a pod, I believe. I don't think you wrote about Victor. And David's thoughts on him, right? Like this idea of don't, at least not in year one, don't expect him to be Kevin Durant and like ball handler. Like, no. He's going to be a great rim protector in inside presence, but let him shoot, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 threes a game. Yep. Run him off screens like, you know, JJ Redick back in the day, like all these different guys that do now. You'll be just fine. I mean, that guy, plus on defense, that's an MVP quality player in year one. And then you develop all the other stuff as time goes.
Yeah, he's got a handle game, but not against NBA players. I don't think he'll be nearly as effective off the dribbling as NBA players. So work on it. You know, Jabari Smith's got to work on it, but get involved in other things. In fact, Jabari's a good model for him. Jabari's really coming out as a player. Get involved in transition, offensive rebounding, posting up, backing guys down. Victor's got different ways to score, not just beat you off the dribble. That's just one thing he can do.
So speaking of talented big men, and you know, because you coach big men who are in the NBA right now, it's fucking hard in this league to get good. Someone who you still believe has a chance, and he's starting to show some things, Mr. James Wiseman in Detroit.
Yeah, I just read an article about him. He's barely played more minutes than rookie from Memphis, Jalen Duren. I mean, 3 years in the league, and he's played like less than 100 minutes more, I think, than Duren.
Okay.
He's, in many cases, still a rookie.
Still a rookie.
And worse than that is, at least Duren was doing it week to week to week, where you can build a model of, okay, here's how I get better. Here's what I learned last week. James is so spread out. He's less, barely more than Duren, and over 3 years, this is the first year of really getting a chance to get some lessons in. I'm not ready to quit on him yet.
If you were called by his agent to work with him this summer, what would be maybe the one or two things you start working on first?
I am a very basic guy. So I always start with, for a big guy, being more effective around the rim. So work on rebounding drills in area, out of area, right-hand tips, left-hand tips, self-tips, offensive rebound putbacks, violent fakes inside, and then simple post moves against smaller guys, which is square up and shoot over them, shot fake quick and go, jump hooks either hand in the lane, attack on that second box or late first box to the middle, and then a counter to it. That's going to take 2 months right there.
That's a lot you said right there.
Yeah, really focus on around the rim where I dominate and then get him to buy into that. And then you can start doing the 15, 18 footers or even threes also. But get him the first to be a big-time finisher around the rim and an effective rebounder too.
No, that makes sense. Well, James Wiseman, David Thorpe rooting for you. We're hoping it all works out for you in the NBA because, I mean, the talent's there. You can see it. Like, he is physical specimen, and he's got games. Just, you know, right. You always say it's oxygen. Playing, you're not going to learn if you don't play. Like, right. You got to play, and you got to fuck up, make mistakes, learn, come back, learn again. It's forever. You know, we'll talk about it now if we get to the NCAA. You know, that jump, right, from so many guys you coach in the league who have these standout games, and you sent the message to a player this morning, you're like, go, great game. Now you have to average that if you want to be, like, but... Right. Doing that, like becoming just like I can once in a while pop off and do something great to consistently doing it every single night, that is such a difficult jump to make in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like talking about players very much, but I will tell you the name of this one just because I met him watching. I was mentoring his pre-draft training coach out in LA, and his name is Don McBarlow. We have written about Overtime Elite, and he's from there. And I got to know Dom, and he's really a fascinating young man, brilliant thinker with a body of an NBA player. Good combination. Mm-hmm. Really smart kid who loves the game, in love with the game. It's I actually called Dom for advice on the draft prospects for this class.
Oh, nice.
Because he played with all these guys.
Yep.
And he follows it religiously. The guy lives on – I've had dinner with him before. He lives on his phone watching the games. It's crazy. So he had 12 and 10 last night with 5 assists and 2 blocks. I don't think Spurs teenager has ever done that before. I know they haven't. And so my only message to him today was, that's going to be a normal game for you if you're making it. Like, maybe not 5 assists, but he could be one day 18 and 10 as an average for sure. But to do it once in a while, in this case, he'd never done it before in the NBA. Great. Now what's next? Like I remember watching Dwayne Wade just having to score 30 a night to give his team a chance. It takes so much energy and commitment and a willingness to get hit over and over. And some guys get sick of that, and you can't win at the highest level if you get sick of it.
And I think that's the part that, again, fans don't understand, David. You see Steph or KD or LeBron or these guys who've been the tops of the league for the last decade plus.
Right.
And they make it look very easy, but it's not. Like, it's just not. Like, it's really hard. No, if you're relentless,
the other teams are knowing what you want to do. They know your plays. They know your tendencies, especially when you're a veteran. You got to wake up and go to work every day. You've got to eat right and get your sleep. It really can be all-consuming. And you have to have a balance in your life. You can't just be all basketball. It'll bite you. So, yeah, the guy's a you know, Devin Booker and Tatum, those guys. I mean, come on, Jaylen Brown, all these.
It's so the process, hard. Right? Yeah. You have to be in love with the process. Yes, of course you want the results. You want to win championships and MVPs and all. Yeah, because that gets you paid. All that's great. But if you don't love the process,
yeah,
ain't happening for you.
Completely right. I do this high school players now with a new business that I have to NBA players, just getting that. I had a G League player lose his last game last night. We're having a call as soon as we click off this. Okay, what now? You got 2 weeks to recover. Probably. I don't think the team can call him up. Maybe they will. He's a two-way player. But all right, what's next? Like, you have to have a plan in place for that. And if you don't, you just get swamped.
Yeah, not going to make it. All right, Coach, we started with NCAA. We're going to finish with NCAA. The men's national championship game is this evening. I believe it is Connecticut and San Diego State playing. Correct. That much I do know. I don't know anything else. I will not be watching literally a second of this game. You all know how I feel about college. Yes, I did watch a women's game, so don't come at me. I felt like, listen, I had a Caitlin Clark as must-see TV. I saw LSU. I was like, this LSU team looks pretty good. I saw, I got to watch some of this. I ain't watching none of this men's game, but tell us about this game tonight.
Well, I like San Diego State because of how they play. They're so rough. I mean, talk about LSU women. San Diego State is rough, physical, defensive team, as they should be. UConn is clearly the class. And mm-hmm. I was telling the guys I did a Sweet 16 bracket. Mm-hmm. And that's gone well for me. And I have Connecticut win the championship, so I mean, get higher up. They've been the best team for a while now, I think. And they play fast. They have some NBA players on the team. But to me, I watched it because there was a period of my life where I thought that would be me one day. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to be a college national champion. And so I can't not, even with the girls yesterday, tear up a little bit. I just, you know, that's not going to happen for me. Unless the only way it happens for me is my son changes tunes and becomes a college coach and then asks me to be on his bench, which would be the honor of my life. Literally the honor of my life. That I don't think it's going to happen because he wants to coach. He's going to the game tonight, actually. Max is in Houston.
Oh, okay.
He's going to he went with all the Florida State guys to like assist with the clinics and everything. The NCAA tournament's a big clinic.
Yeah, huge.
But he's got tickets to the game tonight. Well, you know who paid for him. I got the call yesterday. I'm like, son, are you asking for my permission? This is weird. You're 20, almost 22. You need to know if it's okay if you stay in Houston next year. I think you need some money. He's like, well, it's $50, Dad. He's not paying a lot of money. A friend of his has a ticket. He's just given to a cost.
Right.
But yeah, I'm really glad. National championship games are fun. I've been to Super Bowl. I've been to Super Bowls and Final Fours and all of it. I've seen champions being crowned in multiple and bowl games doing football. It's fun. And I will be watching. I'll probably have the volume. I'll probably have music on until 5 minutes to go. If it's a blowout, it'd be 1 minute to go to hear the end of it. But yeah, it was a part of my life for a long time. I sent a lot of guys to college.
You have.
I had a guy playing in this Final Four this weekend that I'm helping. They lost in the first round in the NCAA in the Final Four game. I'll be watching, but I understand why you're not.
I will say this, though. Even though I'm not watching, getting to the pinnacle of your sport, the championship round, that is a huge deal.
No joke.
And this will tie back into what I started at the beginning.
Yeah.
You have to understand the sacrifice, hard work, the emotion, everything running through your body. You know, Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird were doing their Bird and Taurasi show on the simulcast of the game last night, and they had Gino on, you know, their guy. And it's like, Sue was funny. She's like, and we have Gino Auriemma, Sue Bird, who, by the way, has been on our podcast before. She goes, it's so weird because I never call you Gino Auriemma. Like, so, coach. Like, coach, and they're just and they're just talking.
Yeah.
And he talks about, you know, treat it like any other game. And Gino was like, well, you guys know, like, you can say that, but it's not. Yeah. Like, you can do all the psychology you want to. It is not any other game. This is it. This is for the everything that you've worked for is in this moment.
Right.
And not for your life, but for the sport that you play. And you don't know if you're ever going to get back to this moment ever again. For a lot of them do know they won't. For they're a senior or whatever.
Right.
So it's just, you're not, if you don't have anything happening in here, then you're not a real person, right? You are an automaton or whatever. Like you just, so I get it. It is emotional and wishing best of luck to everybody participating tonight. It'll be quite the show. We will be back later in the week where
pick our awards.
You want to do awards on Thursday? Okay.
I mean, next week we'll be doing playoffs.
That's, you're right about that. All right. Let's do awards. Oh, God. So you want to do all NBAs too?
Whatever you say.
Oh, my God. All right. And we're going to do our thing where we're not doing by position. I know that's how the league does it.
Not next year, right?
In the new Thank CBA? God. Yeah. We're going to just do, which, by the way, we'll talk about that on Thursday too. The new CBA is here.
Right.
And there's some things that are interesting. The idea of like players can have equity in teams and all these.
I'm confused.
Yeah. There's some things to talk about there. But yeah, we'll do awards on Thursday and we'll figure out what team lost twice this week and is now shit out of luck, whatever. And until next time, guys, take care.